I need to tell someone my story. If I don't record this while it's fresh in my mind, I don't know if anyone's ever going to believe that it's all true. I'll begin it a year ago, when I had it all. I was just transitioning from finally finishing college, having earned a degree in journalism, and I was right on the brink of starting a dream job in my very competitive industry. My boyfriend, he studied philosophy at my same university. He graduated at the same time as me. Our relationship was seemingly perfect. He treated me like the most important, special woman in the world, someone that he was going to treasure and cherish for the rest of his life. I loved him. And he loved me. And we had that kind of relationship that was the envy of all of our friends and that was completely celebrated by both of our families. We were one another's perfect match. So it seemed. Though I suspect sometimes that maybe I should have seen the early signs. The signs that our relationship wouldn't be going down that traditional, average, expected path of a loving husband and his wife. Realistically, I knew he wasn't necessarily the perfect physical ideal that most girls fantasize about during their girlhood days. But I was an adult now. I'm going to be successful, earn a good living, and of course have a man who treats me like the most beautiful woman in the world. I mean, who cares if he's not quite up to my level of physicality, right? We had a friendship. We had chemistry, love, and passion. And I didn't expect for those things to slip through my fingers so easily. To paint a picture for you, yes, I am beautiful. Since a very, very young age, I was most complimented on these big, stunning, icy blue eyes of mine. Even as a young girl, people would sometimes comment that my eyes seemed like they hid secrets. Secrets behind my sweet, kind, friendly demeanor. As though I almost always had a glimmer in my eye that I knew more than I let on. There was some joke to which only I knew the punchline. Or as though I had some kind of knowledge that no one else in the room was privy to. As I got older and I began to develop into a young woman, of course, so did my features. I mean, I've been blessed with those sharp, strong features. You know, the kind that when I enter a room, kind of present an air of demanding attention. My body, of course, filled out. My slim figure remained thin still, but my hips and breasts became fuller, creating that lusted after bombshell hourglass figure that literally stops men in their tracks. And of course, my full 36G breasts, always spilling out the top of my shirts, jiggling as I move in the most captivating way. They'd always draw both wanted and unwanted comments and interest. So my eyes and my body, my structure, my breasts, paired with my wavy, long blonde hair, and of course my ridiculously long toned legs, well, they've been the envy of many women who wanted to be just like me. And they've been the subject of the lust of many men who wanted to be with me. And that's just kind of how my life has been my entire adult life. But let's go back to my love interest. He, unlike me, I mean, he didn't necessarily captivate a room. Sure, he was less attractive, maybe less charismatic, shorter, more insecure than me. Though his love for me and my love of how he treated me like a goddess superseded any shortcomings in the physical department. Right before graduation, he so incredibly and romantically proposed to me to be his wife. I accepted his proposal around the very same time that I accepted a dream job of mine. My dream job in Atlanta at ESPN working as a sports journalist covering the Atlanta Hawks. I mean, being a recent graduate embarking on my first job as a career woman and with a fiancé yet to find a job in our soon-to-be city, I took comfort in the fact that my fiancé, you know, he comes from a well-to-do family. Therefore, in addition to emotional support, his financial support would be paramount in making the move all the way from home in Seattle to the East Coast of Atlanta much smoother and, of course, much more comfortable of a transition. As I think back now, it's truly that financial security paired with my own naivete that allowed me to push my initial feelings of disgust and discomfort aside when he finally dropped that big bomb on me. So let me get to it. Right before leaving for Atlanta at what was both an exciting time to begin a new life and also an emotional time, leaving our family and friends back home in Seattle, my hubby-to-be told me something shocking. He decided to do it as I was packing up my closet and drawers. He asked me to sit beside him on the bed as I was folding some of my favorite little slinky pairs of lingerie, putting them delicately in my suitcase. As he opened up the conversation with me, his eyes, they kept shifting from me to the little satin nightie in my hands. I at first thought he's getting like amorous, all turned on and ready to go, because he seemed like he was getting excited. He started telling me that he had a secret fantasy. And since we were making this huge move forward in our lives together, now would be the time to let me know. I had quick visions of me dressing up in this little nightie and climbing into bed with him. But what he was envisioning, was a world away from where I would ever want to wear a piece of lingerie for him again. He told me that he wasn't envisioning the nightie on me. In fact, he was envisioning this little nightie on him. I mean, I couldn't help it. I let out a laugh immediately. To be fair, I truly thought he was kidding. I mean, men don't do that. Men don't wear little satin nighties. I mean, at least real men don't. I put the whole stupid conversation out of my mind. We went to Atlanta and we spent the weekend unpacking, getting acquainted with our new life and our new home. That was until I saw my fiancé rummaging through my suitcase. I hadn't unpacked it yet, and he thought I had left to do a grocery run. I said to him, "Hey, baby, what are you looking for?" And he looked up right away, a little embarrassed. And he told me not to worry. I got kind of nervous, you know, like he was not only keeping something from me, but also I felt violated. He was going through my belongings at a time that he thought I wasn't watching. He looked at me sheepishly and he said, "Well, I was going to try on that nightie that you were packing the other night, You know, the one I said I wanted to try on? Well, let me tell you, this time I wasn't amused. I didn't laugh. The look on my face was clearly one of confusion and worry. He started to apologize and told me it's okay. He didn't really need to wear it, and other excuses and ways to change the subject. I stopped his rambling, and I said, "Is this a joke, or are you being serious right now? Do we need to talk about this further?" And it was then that he started to open up, telling me he's always been curious about feminine fabrics against his skin. Modeling clothes like this on himself while looking in the mirror. He said the thought turns him on, and he was hoping maybe it would turn me on as well. I truly, right then and there, I thought I was going to be sick. I mean, I was raised by men. You know, men who hunt and fish and work with their hands. Men who kept scruffy 5 o'clock shadows and whose testosterone ruled every bit of their surroundings. The men that I know look, act, and dress like men. Real men. Not little fairies in pretty little dresses. I was so disgusted. But I love this man who's before me, bearing his soul, his deepest held secret. I wanted to be kind. I know that my face showed him otherwise. So I told him, "Baby, look, I love you, but I think me wearing these things for you should be enough. Don't you think? I mean, it doesn't excite me for you to wear this type of thing for me, but it excites me for me to wear sexy things for you. Okay, honey?" He said okay, and he let it be. However, it changed the entire mood of moving into our new home. We didn't even make love at all that weekend in our brand new house. The next few times he would be flirty, wrap his arms around me, or reach out to touch me, I found myself flinching at his touch. Not intentionally, but... It was second nature, as though I had a stranger beside me. As though I had someone who hid from me a very essential, important truth that would alter the direction of our relationship and our lives. To be honest, I felt betrayed. I felt sick. I felt tricked. I felt embarrassed. I mean, not for me. For him. Most of all, though, I began to feel trapped. Here I am, I'm starting a great new career, but the pay is minuscule, and I don't have anyone to fall back on but my husband and his family's wealth. I'm extremely turned off, though, and each morning we wake up, and I see him get out of the shower. I'm sizing him up in a completely different way than before. He reaches inside the closet to get dressed, and I start to envision him. In my bra, my panties, my dresses, and my heels, playing dress up and tucking his dick, stripping away all traces of his masculinity. It's horrific. It makes me begin to pour myself glasses of wine far too early in the day just to numb myself and erase the image of him sissying around like a fag boy. It was a loving relationship. Is now turning into a cold one. And when you're living with a stranger who you're turned off by and who your skin crawls from, just the sight of him, you start to evaluate other weaknesses that you probably should have known were always there, but you just never allowed yourself to see. I mean, for instance, his indecision is frustrating. His lack of initiative is pathetic, and the fact that he can't stand up to me for shit, me, the woman, me, his soon-to-be wife, me who loves to be vulnerable and lean on a man, I want to lean on my man. And you know what else? I want to get fucked. I want to get fucked by my man like a woman deserves. Yet, here I am, about to be the breadwinner, while he's laying around all day being useless and living off his trust fund. I start to pick fights with him. I can't help myself. I mean, whether due to the drinking or the resentment or both, I start to call him names like loser, fag, fuckboy. And I often tell him to grow a pair or to man up. Once basketball season begins, things really start to advance. I'm home less. He's home more. But more significantly, I'm working in this male-dominated arena of the sports industry. I'm visiting the players in locker rooms before and after games. These men, I mean, they're a foot taller, well, more than a foot taller than my hubby-to-be. But not only are they tall, they're toned. They have muscles that bulge, tattoos on their bodies. Everything about them just reeks of hard work and pain, passion, and masculinity. Power. Sure, most of the players are black, very dark skinned. Rough around the edges. Having learned their sport and honed their talents on probably the hardest streets of inner city neighborhood basketball courts. These are men who, without shame, as soon as I walked into the locker room, they would check me out. My tits and my ass and just let their eyes linger. They call me sweetie or sweetheart. They take their big hands. They'd confidently touch just a little too low on my back or my hip when doing an interview with me. It was exciting. I mean, not only could I feel their male energy on the court and in the halls of the stadium, but I could smell their sweat each day, each walk I took getting closer to the locker room. The charisma, the eye contact, the stench of real men, and the overwhelming sensation of femininity I feel from being the only woman in a locker room occupied by exceptionally large and often enraged, excited men began to possess me in a way I had never imagined would be possible. However, it was really the day that I saw the first towel fall to the ground that truly changed everything for me. At first, I thought I wasn't actually seeing what I thought I was seeing. I said to myself, it can't be. That is far too huge to be what I think it is. But nope, my eyes were not playing tricks on me. When the really large players realized that my gaze would linger just slightly too long, they all started feeling way more comfortable in dressing in front of me, whether to entice me or show off what they obviously knew was exceptional. I wasn't sure. But I admired their confidence. I loved their arrogance. And most of all, I lusted after those gigantic, shiny, thick poles of cock each and every one of them had. On my drives home, I would be salivating, be completely soaking wet between my legs. However, I then would become straight up angry. How dare my fiance not only be a secret sissy, but also be half the size in length and a skinny little pencil of a dick compared to the rods I was seeing in this locker room. I thought my guy's size was normal, but nope. Now, seeing what big black basketball dicks looked like, I resented this loser I chose to be engaged to for having the most pathetic and worthless dick of all. I started doing research on the internet, looking up porn of black men fucking hot, big-tittied white women like me. I knew then and there that this was no accident. I was blessed with this job at the perfect moment in time. This would be my coping mechanism. These big black dicks, they could save me from a lifetime of unhappiness and a suffering sex life of being with a little dick loser. With all this time alone at home, I start to wonder what my fiancé is doing with his time. I began to notice little things. There's panties in the washing machine that I haven't worn in ages. And the ones in my dresser, they're all shuffled around out of place. Even worse, one early morning when I reach for my bedside drawer for my vibrator, it's misplaced and I find it in a totally different drawer in the bathroom where I would never leave it. Worse yet, the next time I look for it, it's missing altogether. So I order a new one. I mean, obviously, a much bigger, much thicker, much blacker dildo toy to keep up with my growing fantasies about black cock inspired by my locker room job. My hubby still tries to have sex with me, of course, but my withdrawal and dissatisfaction for him, even being near me, I don't know. It's grown much more obvious to him. Those cold, icy eyes of mine, they look at him as though he's committed an unspeakable, an unforgivable crime. To be real, he has. He's not really a man. He's a fucking sissy and a loser. And as soon as I can find a way to increase my income, I'm dropping him. And I don't feel bad about it. I don't care if he's hurt. It's me who's been violated. I've been lied to, duped. Told I would have a happy, intimate, passion-filled marriage with a man who loved me. Yet he's not a man at all. And now that I know what a real man is, I need to explore that further for myself. I need to know what a real man's hands, arms, and most of all, cock feel like all over me and deep, deep inside me. Then, this little fucking bitch has the nerve to confront me one night when I got home from work. He tells me that I stink of sweat and balls and black men. He shows me that he found my big black toy and that it's proof I'm a whore. He calls me a cheater and a slut and a white slave to big black dick. And he says that it's my fault our sex life and personal connection have suffered because I'm horny for black dick and made a move to Atlanta so I'd be surrounded by it. He actually said to me, "The way you look at me like I don't even exist or like you hate me. It's obvious that you're addicted to black dick." He says, "This dildo's proof. If you're going to indulge yourself in your sick fantasies, you're going to indulge yourself in my fantasies, or else I'm going to leave you and you're going to have zero access to everything I'm worth." This enraged me. I'm the one who soured our future and our marriage and our sex life. Is he fucking crazy? All I could do was start to laugh. You know, that deep maniacal laugh that's attributed to villains or women of the most dubious kind. So I looked at him with my piercing eyes. I took a step closer to him, hovering over him in my high-heel stilettos, and I brushed my hair away behind my shoulder, putting my hands on my hips in a nice, strong, dominant stance. I lean forward and speak down to him as though one would speak to a child, and I unleash on him completely. "Excuse me? You're to blame for every ounce of insecurity and shame you're feeling." I am so fucking disgusted by what a sad little boy you've become. Back in Seattle, yeah, I may have been blinded, but being here, I've come to see what a fucking loser you are. You think I'm not fucking you because I'm cheating? Nope. I'm not fucking you because you're pathetic. You're a panty-wearing fag, and you have the most worthless little pencil dick I've ever fucking seen. As a matter of fact, even calling what you have between your legs a dick, that's me being generous. A prick might be more suitable, but even more so, it would be a little itty-bitty clitty. I just kept ripping into him. I couldn't believe it. He was shaking and crying, but it felt so fucking good for me. So I continued. "Aw, poor little girly with her itty-bitty clitty is so, so sad that no woman's ever gonna fuck him, since he's a sissy fuck of a loser." "That's right, you're a little bitch, and to make matters worse, you're fucking stupid. I'd rather use my little pinky finger to fuck myself, since it's just as thick as yours." Look, I've seen real cocks now, and it's all that will ever get put inside me again. I've been in the presence of real, true, red-blooded men, and they put that tiny, teeny pink pecker between your legs to total shame. He looked at me, truly hurt and destroyed, and said, "Good luck living on the income of a first-year sports journalist." I couldn't stop laughing. "Oh my God. Wow," I said. "You really think it's time to pretend to be a man now? Aw, it's so cute. As though you can ever again trick me into thinking you have a pair of balls between your legs." Too late for that. Whatever tiny little shrunken balls you do have down there, well, I've got you by them. As you've been prancing around all day, every day while I'm working, you're twirling around in my panties and nighties and practicing your best kissy lips after you paint them all pink. Sucking on my dildos with them. Guess what? I've been videotaping you the whole fucking time. Mm-hmm. I have dozens of videos. Dozens of fucking sick sessions of you in my pink, red, purple thongs, lacy bras, and silky stockings. You're so fucking stupid. If you don't think I didn't know what you were doing all day, you're even stupider if you think I'm not fully prepared to send these videos to your mommy and daddy, who will cut off the cord as soon as they see what a feminine little twat their son is. As soon as they and all your potential future employers, that's right. As soon as they all lay their eyes on you humping pillows and tugging your sad little clitty while wearing my panties, you'll be fucking poor and you'll really, really need to develop those blowjob skills just to make ends meet. So here's how it's gonna be. We are getting married. We will have that wedding of my dreams that everyone around us is going to envy. Everyone will say what a beautiful couple we are and how happy we're going to be. However, on our wedding night, we'll be consummating our agreement my way. I'll be inviting some of my new friends from work over. You've seen them on TV. And yes, if you're wondering, they're even bigger and even blacker than you think they're going to be. And I'm not talking about their height. On our wedding night, I'm going to be taking my first real cock. It's going to fill me up, and you're going to watch. You're not going to touch yourself. As much as you might beg and plead and ache for it, no. Nope. You're on serious probation, you little bitch. So don't fuck with me, or everything you ever hoped for will be exposed. In turn, if you're a good little bitch boy and you do whatever I say, maybe I'll reward you by allowing you to have your own panties and your own big black dildos. However, that's only if you're a good boy. By good, I mean, you're going to have to do and say what I please. Which means if I decide it'll be amusing for you to use that pretty girly mouth on one of my new big black boyfriends, you're going to do it. Otherwise, you're going to be completely fucking exposed and ruined. So here I am. The final moments before I take that beautiful walk down the aisle to create a union with my beloved. All eyes are going to be on me. All smiles and laughter and well wishes. However, I have a secret deeper than anything my sissy hubby has kept from me. I'm going to make it my mission to fucking ruin and break him. He wanted to be a woman, and I'm going to give him that. Only it won't be when he picks and chooses to rummage through a panty drawer and pants around the house when I'm gone. Nope. It's going to be extreme and brutal and like a little whore. He's going to learn about the reality of feminine sexuality. That's at the mercy of dominant, real men. I'm selling his little holes, and I'm going to make him my pretty little whorish doll toy who gets to visit the locker room each night as a gift to my real men. That's right. My hubby has no idea what he's in for, and I'm deliciously excited to show him that slutty bitches with little clitties only serve one purpose. To open wide and to take what they're given. Oh, wow, I won't be able to hold back my smiles and excitement tonight. And hilariously, for a moment or two, that fucking loser of a husband of mine, he might actually convince himself that everything's going to be okay. Look, she's really, truly happy, he'll think to himself. Well, I can't wait to show him that I am truly happy. But for him... It'll be a lesson in be careful what you wish for, because tonight, my husband's little sissy dreams are all gonna start to come true.